You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
And the name of this movie is Peripheral, but I keep wanting to say Periferal. I can't help it. It's longtime Jane's Addiction fan. There's nothing for it. It's always stuck in my head, and so now this word is forever ruined for me. But that being said, this movie really could have used a little Jane's Addiction.
I think that would have definitely improved it exponentially.
Before we get started, let's take a look who is here joining me on this review. First off, we have Matt.
Hello.
Julian.
What's up? I'm ready to upload this review into your brain.
Okay, nerd points officially taken away from you right there. And Ryan.
How's it going? I wish I had an AI to do all of my work for me sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
What do you mean sometimes?
All the time. 99% of the time.
When you see the science fiction, like on Black Mirror or something, like, what if you had a clone of yourself that could do some of your work? I was like, some of your work? I mean, when that clone gets tired, you make another clone. It's very simple. Sure, it didn't work out too well for Batman, but that was several degrees of separation away from this movie, except for the part where I mentioned Black Mirror, because I think we're all on the same page. And this kind of feels like a overlong Black Mirror episode, this movie that originally was released in 2018. From director Paul Hyatt, who is known for 2015's indie festival successful Howl, which is about a werewolf on a train, and 2012's very disturbing and effective The Seasoning House, although most of his experience, which is extensive, is in makeup and FX. It's from writer Dan Schaefer, who did 2009's Doghouse. I don't know how well it still holds up. It's a horror comedy that I thought was hysterical when I saw it. Only women get affected by a zombie virus, and it's about a bunch of men on a bachelor crawl, so you can see how that might be a little disturbing. But anyway, that's nothing like this movie that stars Hannah Arterton, yes, Gemma's sister. She plays a writer who has put out one book that was a big, weird, sudden success. She is a little put off herself by the massive success that's actually spawned cult-like behavior from some of the fans of it, including one girl who keeps dropping video cassettes into her door that she can't even watch because she doesn't have a VCR. Her publisher is constantly getting on her, like, you have to write the next book. Okay, I'm tired of this bullshit. Can't use your old typewriter. We're going to send you a computer to do it on, which obviously this is supposed to be near future because it's not just a computer. It's this massive thing.
It looks like a combination of a news desk and a cyber deck from Shadowrun.
Right. It's Howl, the home game.
Yeah, it reminded me of Intelligence from Team America.
So she's like, all right, I guess I'm going to do this. What the fuck? And we start to find out over as it goes along that she wrote the last book pretty much when she was on drugs the entire time. She is since a recovered addict, but not wildly recovered. Her ex hookup slash drug dealer keeps showing up because apparently he still has a key to her house, leaves some drugs there, which leads her down that path. She keeps getting sent hardware upgrades to the computer, making it more and more intelligent and more predictive of her behaviors, to the point where the computer's kind of writing the book more than she actually is. Mm-hmm. Add to that the fact that for some reason her fingers and toes are gradually turning more and more black. That's unclear exactly what's going on there. And she seems to be having hallucinations and perhaps a computer-assisted pregnancy. There's a lot of shit going on in Peripheral. And I think the main thing that's going on here is somebody is really pissed about modern technology and also doesn't like anybody telling them what to do.
Yeah, someone is sick of upgrading their phone.
It's ironic because this could have, like, used an edit.
Very much so. I'd like Hannah Arterton in this film. I think she's good and she's effective, and I love her bangs. I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but I'm kind of into bangs. But I found most of the other actors, with the exception of Tom Conti, the older classic actor who plays the sort of third man of the film, Gilmore Trent, a famous author that she's into, who has a very small part in here. Almost everybody else is kind of one note. It's so low budget. It's just trapped in here. The director does the most that they can with the camera, no yeah. question. I think there's a lot of interesting visual ideas, but nothing that's breaking super new ground either. I think ultimately the problem is there's only so many places you can go with the story with such a small budget that is body horror, but kind of only in your head.
I totally agree. And that's why I know we mentioned it feels kind of like a Black Mirror episode. It really does feel like a TV episode because the budget is pretty low, even though I really did like the cinematography and a lot of the production design. But at the same time, I feel like to sort of like build the world that they needed to build to make this like concept feel real, they probably needed a little bit more, even though I do think some of the things they did were admirable. She's written this novel that has just changed the world and has started all these riots. It's kind of a snippet in the beginning, and I get that that's something that they couldn't really establish because it would require a lot more of a budget. And they did kind of isolate us inside of this one house for the whole time, which could have been more effective. But I feel like to buy into that world, I just needed to see a little bit more than we did.
The movie's really bold with its budget. I think that it uses it well, but my problem with it wasn't that I didn't find it believable, or maybe it is that, but it's they didn't explain it to me in a way where I felt like I could buy it. There were some things that just happened. I was like, that's a crazy visual. That's cool. What's happening? What does that mean? How did we get here? And it never gives me an answer to all my questions, the biggest ones at least.
I have a personal rule that I start to sour on something if it has more than like three dream resets. Like that's something where you should for sure apply yeah. that rule of threes is a hard rule. And I thought this hit the, I would call it an anti-sweet spot. It's in a bitter spot where it should be either longer or shorter. There's the interesting thread of, well, I made this art and it turned very political and now I have obsessed fans. And then there's this whatever's going on with the body horror aspect related to the computer. I don't know if we're supposed to think it's all the drugs and that it's actually just she's whacked on the drugs, or if it's supposed to be real and also happening to her editor, and that's why she's going through like the Brazil-esque plastic surgery while she's talking on the phone with her, you know?
Yeah, that part, I still don't understand what was going on.
That was just a weird, like, untied off thread.
I thought that was kind of funny, though. Every time they would cut to her publicist, she had, like, new marks on her face for her surgery she was about to get. I thought that was funny, but it did feel kind of bizarre. But I think that there's a lot of like elements of how people are perceived and voyeurism in the movie, and I think that might have been something they were trying to get across with that.
They set the delivery guy that brings the upgrades up as almost sinister in the beginning. Like that's what really reminded me of Black Mirror. Is I thought he was going to be some kind of like, it was a deal with the devil or something where this weird figure just brings her this thing and she writes on it. Then there's the Gilmore Trent trying to get her to write, obviously in the employ of the publisher. The implication I took is that he was fake because he blinks at one point like the holograms. And obviously Gilmore Trent, to me, I took it to be an allusion to Kilgore Trout.
To say there's Vonnegut under the surface here would indicate it was under the surface when it's not.
Yeah.
She's got on a poster of Vonnegut on her room and he's mm-hmm. brought up multiple times during the length of this.
And then she also just endures with good grace the fact that she's evidently gangrenous. She's not just like, maybe I should get these black fingertips looked at, which it has a dreamlike quality, and it definitely, I think it's exploring a little bit of Salinger style agoraphobia too, so that checks out with that lane of it. We don't go far enough down any of the lanes that they can be used to exculpate the things that don't go with the other lanes.
It is trying to do a lot, and I think it's trying to do it from some separate sources. The techno fear combined with the social cynicism, which both are hallmarks of 90% of the Black Mirror episodes. Like, that is kind of the theme of that entire anthology show. And you can't, I know people love to throw around anything with even the faintest amount of technology or sci-fi, and it feels like a Black Mirror episode, which I don't always agree with. This definitely does feel like that, but maybe that's part of why it feels overlong. But I think a lot of it is because it's all set in just one location. with mainly one character. It kind of is going in cycles. It's a slow amp uphill as the things they introduce just get more pronounced, but don't really go anywhere.
There's some continuity stuff with the body horror that I couldn't figure out if it was continuity error or if something like some time loop was resetting that I was missing.
I felt the same way.
I thought that they were trying to get across some sort of like Babadook thing, you know, like where it's like, is it real? Is it not? Because by the end of it, I was like, I don't think this makes any fucking sense.
See, I thought that too, because it seems to recede when other people are in the room.
Yeah.
It's definitely existential allegory, but when we try and piece it all together, it feels like its allegory is more for reminding you of other better sources of that sort of thing than what it is itself. You know, I mean, I'm reminded of Vonnegut and I'm reminded of Salinger, and I'm not really seeing any clear path to anything new or interesting this is doing other than feeling like an old man raving at people to get out of his yard.
The only uncertainty I have is if his highest rant priority was technology, or if his highest rant priority was having a shrill editor telling you to make it more sellable.
The problem isn't even the editor per se. The editor is just doing what the public wants and the coming to terms. Well, if you want to be successful, I guess that's what you have to do. And going, wow, the public is fucked up.
Her public liked her first novel she wrote on a typewriter so much that they rioted over it.
I think, though, when you look at this director, whose first movie was The Seasoning House, which was a huge hit at festivals, and since then has had less success with getting stuff out there, then maybe there's some relevance there of like, man, fuck you guys. You told me I was great, and now nobody's paying attention. I'm trying to do art over here, people.
There are definitely images in this movie that scream that 100%. The movie stops to yell that in your face. And I liked it some of the time.
And I do think that there's a lot of good stuff in this movie. This is definitely not an inexperienced director or team putting this together. I do wish they had found a way to make this not so small. It felt like it would have been interesting if it had expanded its ideas outside of this house into other characters being explored. But
I would have dropped the whole subplot with her book being very political and with having an obsessed fan. Although,
yeah,
the obsessed fan was creepy and show-stealing.
But then it didn't really come to anything. They ended it, but I don't feel that was worth all that time they spent on it.
Yeah, she comes out the best out of anybody in the movie.
Let's go to final thoughts. Why don't you keep going into yours, Matt?
Atmosphere is really good. If you're a Lynch Cronenberg aficionado and you need something to scratch the itch, the performances are really good. I enjoyed the lead a lot. The delivery guy ends up being surprisingly funny.
True.
He's the tension release in the movie because he finally just kind of spills some beans. I didn't want my free back. You know, the price paid was reasonable. I give it 5.5 out of 10. Don't do Cyber Baby if you can't afford Cyber Babies.
I got to say, I love your phrase. I didn't want my free back. That's kind of awesome. Julian?
Like we've been saying, it's very similar to probably one of the more lackluster episodes of season 4 of Black Mirror. This movie at the beginning, it reminded me of this French movie, Cachet. It's about voyeurism. I don't know if anyone knows it. I thought they needed more Cronenberg lettuce in the sandwich, if you know what I mean. But I give this 7 fingers.
Cronenberg lettuce is made from actual Cronenberg.
It's true. Ryan?
I think while this had a lot of really, really interesting ideas, I feel like it didn't necessarily have the budget to pull off the scope of those ideas. Although I think the protagonist, Bobby Johnson, played by Hannah Arterton, her performance was great. I just think that character doesn't really progress enough for me. She sort of starts off in one place and kind of ends up in the same place, and there's really no turn, and for that reason there wasn't like a lot of tension with what was going on, besides for, you know, some of the weird body horror stuff happening to her. And I think that could have been more effective if we were more involved with her and her journey and like what she wanted to do. There were a lot of things I was impressed with, though, especially the cinematography and the lighting and production design was great. I think I would give it 5 hipster typewriters out of 10.
For me, it was just so relentlessly angry, but it was so, it just felt aimlessly angry. Like, I'm just angry at everything. I'm angry at this. I'm angry that nobody should be able to tell me what to do. I actually don't know what I'm doing either. I'm, you know, I wanted the movie to feel like it actually had something concrete to say, and I don't feel like it did. It felt very unfocused. And it didn't feel like it really evolved. That character kind of starts one way and ends not that different. I don't know.
It's weird because the social pressure on her in the movie to conform to what her editor wants doesn't feel like the Orwellian force she should rebel against. it feels like her editor is very reasonably trying to get her to work. It's like neutered in that sense that she doesn't feel like she's rising up against the man.
Right.
The message is really mixed.
It's like this movie wanted to be punk rock, has no idea what punk rock is. That's what it felt like. I thought it was just okay. There's some interesting stuff here. It's certainly competently made. It desperately needed more money and a script with another few passes at it. I'm going to give this 5.5 out of 10. Well, first off, I'm not exactly sure what a tubal ligation is, but this looked like a tubal ligation to me in the movie from what that sounds like. So I'm going to call it 5.5 tubal ligations out of 10.
When you look it up, you're going to laugh again.
Am I? Damn it.